sure.
That was the first fork in the road. So
that was between the Christians and the Muslims. Mm-hmm. It was that, yeah. So it's
well, ironically enough, in studying magic as I have, you know, there's ceremonial magic and so forth that has nothing to do with paganism or, and I use the let me clarify one thing. I use the term paganism in a generalized modern term of the word. It's widely accepted that kind of encompasses all nature-based belief systems. But ceremonial magic even goes back and deals with angels and spirits and so forth. But everything, in fact, Carmen, you made a great point regarding Gabriel. What major religion doesn't believe in angels?
Exactly.
Or good spirits. They may have different names, but, you know, for instance, I'm sure the Eastern religions that I've studied have similar entities that could each be identified as the same thing, but they have different names for them.
Mm-hmm.
But most major religions have a belief in those same archangels.
But it seems that they're interpreted differently. You can just look at that in art. Because, I mean, I had a stint for about 2 months where all I did was study angels. And I went through, I mean, art is a good way to, you know, just to see and kind of visualize. That's kind of neat. We just talked about the movie, the prophecy that I watched all three of them this weekend. And that was one person's interpretation of what he thought the angels were, for example. All over the world, you can see different forms of art done by different people. For example, Gabriel the Angel. There's probably, I can name off four or five different pieces of art that I've seen, not by name really, but I've seen at least four or five different pieces of art. With Gabriel the Angel in there, where he looks completely different, he's more native to that culture. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they would do it.
Yeah.
They would put it down on,
but it's these different
in art, mm-hmm, as they would view that.
It's these different
figure.
Different interpretations. Now, Edward, you made another point. I mean, like I said a second ago, it seems to be stemming from one thing, and now we have all these different belief systems, different sects, even within the Catholic Church. There's probably a couple hundred at least of just different sects. Different beliefs, different ideology, whatnot. The thing that I always like to tell people is for some reason, we always end up on religion. We talk about that so much.
It's everywhere you go.
And the example,
any conversation.
Yeah. The example I always like to use.
Yeah, I'll go back to the same thing. There's a concept out there, and I have been reading through it, and, you know, I'm not convinced, but, and this goes into a metaphysical aspect,
mm-hmm,
rather than the, I guess you could call it paranormal, but the whole concept of even the Anunnaki concept,
mm-hmm,
tells us that, you know, there was at one time one basic system. Even the earliest texts we have on the planet date back to Sumeria.
Mm.
I mean, that's documented. That is scientific fact. Well, we all started in the same place, and regardless of what belief you have in terms of religion, Adam and Eve, whatever, that alone should say something.
Mm.
We all started out in the same place.
Well, that only makes sense. Who knows? I mean,
so why? You know, what happened along the way?
Yeah, what? That's the
question. Blow didn't like what Joe, you know, Susie Blow was saying, so I'm going my separate way.
There you go. That's exactly what.
That's basically what has happened, and we've just spread ourselves out to the point where nobody's right anymore.
A simplistic viewpoint, like I said. I mean, I think I've thrown this at you a couple of times, Doug or Will or anybody down here.
Well, the simplest answer is usually the right one.
Yeah, but if I have a religion, let's say, what am I, Doug? I'm a Lutheran. Let's use Lutheran. That ties in real well here. I'm a Lutheran, or let's just say I'm a Catholic, so just to make it even easier. Okay, I'm a Catholic. I have all the Catholic ideals, Catholic beliefs, but one thing. I want to have sex before I get married. That's a huge one in the church.
Right? big sticking point.
Now,
yeah.
Well, hey, I have all these beliefs, but I really, really want to have sex before I get married, right? So I start up Scottism, right?
You got it.
I start up Scottism. I have my own church now, and we can do everything Catholic.
It occurs, though.
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
There are preachers out there in the Catholic Church that are having problems being homosexuals openly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the Catholic religion, basically, they modify their religions to fit their own recreational needs.
There you go. That's
the drinking, the
gambling.
Well, I don't
want to get into a debate over specific religions,
because
my personal feeling is that everyone's entitled to their own.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be responsible for saying, no, not you, you're wrong.
I think where that came from, though, is like you said, I mean, it all seems to have come from one place. Where do we go wrong?
Well,
I'll tell you what.
We're not going to answer that this half hour. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break.
Okay.
When we get back, though, I hope that we can talk more with Reverend Kraft about things, pagan rituals, pagan holidays, things like that, and let's get into that, because I know that several even Catholic holidays were borrowed from the pagan rituals and stuff, and let's see if there's any truth to that. So we'll find out after the break. Hang on for a moment, Reverend Kraft. We'll be right back.
Great.
Such as web and pop 3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Free streaming and downloadable videos. MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
This is Fat Jesus, lead singer of the band Zero Recourse, and when I've arisen on a Sunday, I will check out the world through the eyes and ears of my boys and ghost guitar.
Change of heart or address, is there nothing that remains? For a sunrise or a sunset, you're manic or you're depressed, will you ever feel okay? For a sunrise or a sunset, your lover is an actress, did you really think she'd stay? For a sunrise or a sunset, you're either coming or you just left, but you're always on the way towards a sunrise or a sunset, a scribble or a sonnet, they are really just the same. To the sunrise or the sunset, the master and his servant have exactly the same fate. It's a sunrise and a sunset, sunrise and the sunset. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset, go home to your apartment, put the cassette in the tape deck, and let that fever play. Sunrise, sunset, where are you, Ariana?
All right, I am like stoned on sugar.
Yeah.
All right, this is like okay. This we haven't even like done half the cake. Actually, Doug did about a quarter himself. He like just swallowed it whole.
I swallowed. Yeah, I just had to swallow like a huge chunk.
Cartoon anteater? Remember that anteater? What was the cartoon that had the anteater in it? He's like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's up?
Oh my gosh! I remember the anteater.
He just sucked
the ants
up.
I had an anteater toy.
An ant?
An anteater toy.
Anteater toy. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The ants.
I forgot his name.
I don't remember.
That was
either.
Done.
Yeah.
But it was cake.
Swallowed
it. And he don't have a snout. But it was the same thing, right?
Well, my snout, I just put it away. You know.
But I can actually feel the sugar like just pushing its way through my veins right now. And I'm like just...
As long as it doesn't push out somewhere else.
Yeah. I have to say, y'all are listening to Ghostly Talk. This is Ghostly Talk. Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. I can't hear myself in my headphones, so I hope you guys can hear me.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, I can
good.
Hear you.
Good, good, good. I'm happy. And we're...
Hey, guys, Doug's happy.
I'm happy. And we're broadcast live on Pioneer Radio from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday night. So, you know, we're always there. I told you about our website. Our guest tonight is Reverend Edward M. Kraft, DD. He's got his own site. It's linked up through our website. So if you go to our website, there's his link will be there. We'll move it down into the permanent GT guest section.
Yeah.
So you'll always be able to access his website through our website.
It's actually stoned in HTML. It's written in stone.
Yes.
It's not going anywhere.
Etched in by Scott L. If you're hearing this on another network, such as Moist FM or KSSX or Radio New York International.
It's not the Moist again. Come on. You got to quit saying Moist on the air, man.
Well, it's the name.
How about Excited FM?
What about around MFM?
MFM.
I think we're going to get cut this week. But anyway, if you're hearing it on any of the other networks in rotation, we're not live at that time. We're live.
But call.
On
you
Sunday
can still
night.
Call. There'll always be an operator here.
Somebody might pick up. Hello?
What?
Is this Ghostly Talk? Dude, no. This is a guy who was sleeping. What are you?
6 in the morning. Leave me alone.
Oh, I'm from the other side of the world. Just wanted to call. No, don't call. Please do not call.
No, they can call because it's just busy all the
time.
Yeah,
it's busy all the time.
So anyway, we're talking about paganism. Witchcraft and witches and warlocks. We're talking about all kinds of great stuff with Edward M. Kraft. The one thing that interests me, I think there's four kinds of holidays. Okay, legal holidays that are just legal holidays. There's unrecognized holidays. I mean, these are more like folk holidays. Holidays like Halloween. They're not legal holidays or anything like that.
My birthday.
But it's something that every Halloween, and even coming up, yeah. Got
the day I lost my virginity.
And,
I'm sorry.
Woo, June 13th. Oh, wait. Anyway, then there's...
What day was that?
And there's things like St. Patrick's Day, which is hugely celebrated.
Yeah.
One folk holiday that's coming out that's not a legal holiday is Potchki Day, they call it, or Ponchki Day.
Potchki. Tuesday.
It's actually Fat Tuesday. Day, which is the day before Ash Wednesday, which does have roots in religion. It's not a legal holiday, but it's heavily celebrated here. Heavily meaning, you know, I do mean that two ways.
Yeah, that's literally
it's celebrated. It's celebrated here in Detroit by people going and getting all their ponchkis.
That's because we have Little Poland down in Hamtramck, and that's their
very, very heavy, heavy donuts. Full of cholesterol and sugar and delicious stuff. That's coming up Tuesday.
That's coming Tuesday.
And so there's these unbelievable holidays, or not unbelievable, what are they? They're folk holidays that aren't recognized by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the kind that are actual, you know, legal and, you know, like, I'm talking legal, I mean governmental kind of legal, but they're recognized by the government, and religious, such as Christmas. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Like,
and
where the banks are closed.
Yeah,
right.
When the holidays when the banks are closed
like
and
that.
You don't get your mail.
Yeah, and then there's the commercial holidays, which are like Father's Day.
Well,
and
today, do you
and
know today's
a,
do you know today is an actual holiday?
No.
Hey, quiz time, guys. Quiz time. What happened today?
What happened today?
Lincoln?
No.
No, that was last.
It was George Washington's birthday.
Thank you, Mr. Kraft. Thank you, Mr. Kraft.
I knew
Thank
it was
you,
some,
Mr.
Kraft. Some president's birthday.
There you go. There you go. It's an actual holiday today. I was born on George.
Had to have a calendar handy.
Okay.
Like, oh, wait a minute.
But Steve Scott, you lie.
Why
and
I
he
lie?
Didn't.
What did I lie?
I'm joking.
I didn't lie.
I say you lie, and he didn't.
Oh.
Remember he fussed up about the cherry tree?
Yeah. He.
Oh.
Cherry
I don't.
Tree.
No, wait
oh,
a minute.
I heard that was that was fiction. But anyway, what happens is there's those different holidays. The one I'm interested in specifically, although there are more. And this is why I went on this whole diatribe. Okay. Mm. It's because I finally have Edward M. Kraft on the phone, and I can ask him about it, okay? A lot of the meaning in Christmas, biggest holiday of the year for a lot of people, especially the kids, right?
In Walmart.
has been borrowed from pagan religions. And that's what I've heard. I've read this on the internet, so it must be true. So Edward, what do you think about that? Have you studied that? Do you know things about that?
Right. Yeah, a lot of it dates back to the Emperor Constantine in Rome, the first Christian emperor of Rome. What he was trying to do, of course, he was the first Christian emperor, so he was trying to unite the Christians and the pagans at the time. So what he did was, all evidence, scientific evidence, has pointed to the fact that Christ was born in the summer, not the winter. But Yule falls around the same time. It falls around December 25th.
Okay, Yule. I've heard that before, the Yule log.
Yuletide? No.
Yuletide, yes. So let's keep going.
So what happens is, he tries to unite the two, so he allows his people to, the Roman population, to celebrate Christmas as a Christian holiday on the date of Yule. And instead of having Yule fall when it actually does, he actually said, well, we'll set it right kind of a little ahead so the Christians won't be offended. So he's basically trying to, again, absorb a religion. I mean, that was essentially, Constantine was the first Christian emperor of Rome, and that's where the whole thing kind of started to be absorbed. That's where paganism began. He was the sponge. And what he did was he took a lot of the traditions and tried to incorporate them. For instance, it's pretty ironic that magi, or the wise men, are considered very important by most pagan religions in terms of, you know, they were the real pagans, the big deal. So he threw three of them in there in his story, in his version. There's a biblical version, but remember who wrote that biblical version. It was basically done by the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
kept secret for years until Martin Luther came along. So what happens is, he tried to unite them all. They threw a lot of the traditions in there. For instance, the tree itself was something that they brought inside of the Yule log. They would bring the tree in, because that's the time that it's usually dark and cold outside in the winter. So that would give them comfort, the pagans comfort, you know, oh, we've got this tree, you know, we've got a little sense of being outside. We're not going to be, you know, we're not going to catch cabin fever, essentially. So they decorated up with candy canes and things like that, or rather candy, and they'd light it up with candles so that it was bright in a dark time of the year when the goddess was gone.
Okay.
And, or rather, when the goddess was ruling. And what would happen is they put the tree out occasionally, and that was to light things up, to give them a feel of what they were missing, essentially. And this is just a very brief and blunt explanation. And by no means it's the whole thing. I mean, we could spend a whole show talking about Christmas, for crying out loud. about.
Yeah.
but we have, yeah, so, you know, Christmas, obviously, that's brought a lot of, you know, it was merging. Is that good or bad? What kind of...
I think it's good. I personally celebrate Yule. My kids love Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I have one child that loves to celebrate both. And I have no problem with either because they're essentially one. Again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's just one piece to a giant puzzle, and it brings you, if you limit yourself to this is the way it has to be, this is the holiday we have to celebrate, versus this is the holiday we have to celebrate, you have just cut yourself out of the picture. You have, you know, that's a closed mind, and that's not a mind that's willing and open to receive the knowledge that's out there for everyone.
Well, that's a big part of it right there.
Yeah.
It's a big problem, too, obviously. I mean, we deal with that all the time.
Oh, I have a ball. I have a ball with it. I get to do it all. I get drunk twice a year, you know? Hey, you know, I get to have eggnog twice. It's a great thing. You know, I do my thing on Yule, and I stay sober until I'm done and carry on, and then I get to celebrate. Christmas time, oh, boy, it's a field day. Now, I don't celebrate in terms of Christ. I do acknowledge his presence and involvement in it all. I'm one of these witches that believes that he was a great teacher. And by no means do I mean to diminish his place in the world today or religion today. I think, you know, anybody that's that influential has something of value.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the very thing, you know, love everyone, turn the other cheek. You know, these are all old principles. But to have the ability to celebrate both is a great thing. So this really is a time when everybody, just like Constantine had originally intended, can do everything at once. And I tend to look at what he was trying to do. He was trying to bring everybody together at one time. And that's what the holiday is really about. I mean, even if you look at the Christian aspect of it, it's about bringing people together.
Well, it is a time for you to be with your family. I mean, I know personally that I look forward to the holidays just for that alone, because, I mean, the rest of the year, we're all so busy being rock stars around here and stuff like that and doing the radio show and running around with our day jobs and whatnot that we don't get a lot of time to spend time with our loved ones and our relatives and even our friends at that.
Well, so, that's going into the whole concept. For instance, Valentine's Day just passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically a Christian-based religion. Or Christian-based, not religion. Excuse my language.
I thought that was a Hallmark-based
religion. Yeah, it's a Hallmark-based thing. But the whole concept behind it is a day of love for couples.
Well,
if you look at the traditional St. Valentine, what he was doing was the Church of Rome at the time had said, or rather the government of Rome at the time, it said that anyone who was not married, any single man, was eligible to go to war. So what he did was, he said, I'm going to marry as many couples as I can on this day to keep these kids from dying.
Oh.
That's what it's really about. It was to save lives. It was his love for humanity, not his love for a woman, not his love for his child. It was love for humanity. And that's something, if we have to have one day to celebrate it, a year, we as a race have a problem.
Yeah.
Celebrate it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be an everyday thing.
You talk about being with your family. If you got a phone, even if it's just to say hello, use it.
Oh.
You know, that's my belief. That's the one time a year that everybody wants to go and get together. Well, make the time, because you've only got one go-round while you're here.
Yeah, just in order to keep my mom from yelling at me after the show because she is listening, I do call my mother every single day. Every day.
Exactly.
It don't matter what time it is.
And he's my stepfather. I talk to him every...
Yeah.
I mean, he called me tonight right before you guys did. I had to get off. He is, you know, religiously faithful with calling me. And I use the term religiously because anyone who's spiritually involved knows that you do something, if you're that involved in it, then, you know, you have a desire to do it. So he calls faithfully every Sunday, regardless. And that, to me, says something, you know. And if he doesn't call, I call.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. You have to call. You have to be in touch with these people.
Yeah, you do.
That's respect.
What if you
That's
live with them?
Respect and love. And
what's that?
What if you live with them?
Yeah, your mom moved in, didn't she?
And my brother?
Yeah.
There's no reason to consider these holidays, you know, when it comes to a holiday, a holiday is just a celebration of that love. Should be a celebration of that love, regardless of whether it's Christmas, Easter, Yule, Samhain, whatever. It's just a celebration. You know, when we celebrate holidays as pagans, we celebrate our connection with the gods and the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
We live every day as a modern-day holiday. You know, it's only Thanksgiving and everything else that everybody gets together here and now. But as pagans, we celebrate our holidays. That's the day that we look upward. We look outward. We look to the world around us. Whereas every other day, we look to the love we share with those who are here with us. And that's the difference. Most holidays now, just like I said, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine, you name it, it's just a day to get with those we love.
Mm.
When we should share that same love throughout the year.
Well,
every day, every minute. I mean, life is short, folks. Enjoy the ride.
Well, it seems as if those holidays would be, they should be there, like you said. I mean, you pagans live their lives every day like it's a holiday, and those holidays are put in place just to kind of acknowledge that.
Well, no, they're actually our holidays. We celebrate our union not with our fellow man, but with the gods, the world, and the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we give thanks to those who gave us the gift of love for those around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the next level. I see what I'm seeing in the world around me today in terms of our modern holidays as being love for one another rather than love for one another every day, and the holidays love for those, for that which is beyond us in the world around
us. It seems as if those holidays should be like a recharge, so to say. You know, that's the way I kind of would look at it now. It's like,
exactly.
Okay,
that's what
this
it
is reminding
me.
It's
the connection with all that's around you.
You know, but like you said, though, it seems like these holidays are just so mechanical now.
Exactly.
They're very mechanical. They've got to go over to the family's house and have Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and then you spend
a
day.
Where do those turn out? Look, turn on any TV set at Thanksgiving, and what is every holiday movie about? Fighting, bickering.
Yeah.
Going back and
ain't become a time to get it all off your chest instead of a time to say, oh, I missed you so much.
Yeah. Or watch football, you know, for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
exactly. Watch the game. Don't talk to the people you ain't seen in 12 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Some people feud like that, though. I mean, some families are actually like that, you know.
That's, well, yeah.
That's a lot of it's got to do with all the same thing, you know. They're you know, that's the one time they can be around their families. Instead of trying to be around their families or at least communicate with their families more often, you know, communication is a great gift. Problem is, you know, if we don't get along with our families, then we tend not to talk to them.
Hey, you know what? Now, I want to jump off that subject briefly because we've got a question from somebody in our chat rooms.
Okay.
If you're not in the chat room already, you should get there. Either go to ghostlytalk.com or pioneer.rolo.net. And click on the IRC link on the Ghostly Talk site or the text chat on the Rolo.com, you know, pioneer.rolo.com. Get in the chat room. There's a lot of people talking. And a fantastic artist, the guy who did the four ghosts that are Ghostly Talk.
Oh.
Yeah, Coconut
Monkey. Big Rabbit.
Yeah, Mr. Jim.
Yeah, yep. He asks a question of you.
Okay.
And it's actually what I wanted to talk about next half hour, but let's get into it early because this is, after all, Ghostly Talk.
Let's go for it.
He's talking about the Tantra and conjuring spirits. And what I wanted to talk about was ghosts. I mean, because we do ghost hunt. We're getting ready. I mean, the spring is, you can almost see it just around
today.
The corner. And, yeah. And
playing games.
Like, ooh, I want spring to get here so I can get out and get in the cemeteries and get on the haunted roads and stuff like that.
Mm.
Haunting spirits. Because you're pagan, right?
Right.
What's that viewpoint then?
Well, pagans tend to believe in rebirth. I, again, as an eclectic, look at the various forms. I tend to look at something called ceremonial magic as well. And I do believe there's some viable things involved in it. Again, the angel concept and everything else. There are good, benign, and evil spirits. And we do have the ability to conjure and control them. If we can do that, I don't see why an entity of some sort, again, I hate labels, But an entity of some sort can't exist. You know, we all need a timeout. So before we move on to whatever, there's no reason we can't, if we feel the need, can't stay here and resolve it. That's my viewpoint on it. Yes, I definitely believe in what you would call a ghost or whatever. But probably not in the same sense. I think it's just a matter of resolution.
Yeah. Well, yeah, some people are taken out of this plane of existence rather abruptly and suddenly, and there may have been things that they needed to resolve.
I mean, even reading through you guys' archives and such and stories, you know, I look back and I flip it through the Internet and looking at all these different hauntings and such. You know, there's always something attached to it that is unfinished. In other words, it was an abrupt end.
Right. It's either abrupt or extremely emotional.
Yeah.
It'll be
exactly.
One or the
other. Well, emotion's a strong thing.
So yeah, oh, definitely.
Five of us through life. And that is, that, you know, that's, emotions are an essential part of magic. You know, you've got to be able to do it emotionally, physically, and mentally. And you leave out one of those three things, and you've got a problem, one way or the other. And if we end our lives and we're not emotionally square, well, you know, it's kind of impossible to finish the game if, you know, you still got three players on the board.
Yeah, and that's
essentially what it, you know, I believe it's very possible. I have no qualms about it. I agree 110%. Yes, they're there.
Have you just read about them, or have you experienced... What kind of paranormal things... You know what, though? Let's take a break first. Because I don't want to miss the break. Unless you don't want to.
Doug's stirred up now.
Unless you don't want to.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Go through the third break? So that
well, it's my birthday, and I don't want to.
You don't want to blow through it?
No, I think... Let's just keep going.
All right, let's keep going. What kinds of paranormal things... Like, you've alluded to, I think, in what we've been talking about, that there's a difference between something paranormal, such as the you know, the thing setting things on fire, you know, being psychokinesis, and that kind of thing.
Maybe you misconstrued that. In fact, Scott, I think I heard you earlier. Referring to the paranormal in parentheses with para.
Yeah.
The reason I do that is I don't see paranormal as anything outside of truly normal.
Okay.
In other words, just because I don't know for a scientific fact doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right, and that, yeah, like, well, Nostradamus...
Well, that's, you know, and that's basically a definition of paranormal, but, you know, I don't get it.
Nostradamus and germs.
Exactly, I don't get it. Nostradamus, don't even go there. He was the greatest divinator I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but he also was a doctor, and he was like, no, we've got to keep things clean during the plague, and then you can get healed. But because he didn't know that there were germs, but he had an inkling.
Exactly.
And that's how he's had, you know, some setbacks, but he also, you know, had some successes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it was the setbacks that caused him to go into what he did.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there's a reason and a cause for everything.
Mm-hmm.
When the wheels are set in motion, you know, you're not going to stop them unless you throw a wrench into the cogs. If you do that, then you're going to have to face the reproduction. Not the reproduction.
Well, you could do that too.
Earlier.
That's on your own.
Y'all got me on the whole sex thing.
You did your own
little humor
power.
There.
Yeah, the repercussions.
Yeah, exactly. There's a repercussion. You know, it's the whole. It's a pagan belief in the rule. I believe in the rule of three, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I've heard that, but I don't even call it the rule of three. I use it on my website, and I use it to others. But I mean, my personal belief is it's not the rule of three; it's the rule of tenfold. You know,
oh yeah.
When you do something to someone else, you're paying for it, and believe me, it's not. It may be three times, but it's going to seem like ten.
And you know what? We've talked about it a million times on this show, and I see it every day of my life now. And it is, I mean, at risk of using this term, karma is a real bear. I don't mean you, karma. I don't mean
I've got a lot of Buddhist beliefs. And believe it or not, Buddhism is actually considered a form of, you know, any earth-based religion
mm-hmm.
is paganism.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use that term, because people tend to
be polytheistic or in order to be
pagan? Don't have to be anything.
Oh, okay, okay.
So you're using terms, Doug. What's wrong with you?
Oh, no, I just...
You're stereotyping.
Floated from the deepest recesses.
No, they are Christian witches.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, they consider themselves... There are many people who will tell you that's not possible. Well, not from their standpoint, but yes, it is from the standpoint of the whole concept of paganism. You can believe what you want to believe, how you want to believe it, and it's not wrong. Most pagans, however, are earth-based. We believe in the world around us, nature, and we are most of us are polytheists. Yes,
but that sounds like I mean the all of the United States of America was supposed to be because of religious persecution and they drill us from fourth grade on that melting pot. People come here, avoid religious persecution, and then of course you get here and you're religiously persecuted. But the thing is. That's an ideal that the United States was founded on, although it's not really happening, it didn't really happen, but it's founded on that ideal.
Well, Wicca itself is actually, I am a traditional witch. I do belong to, I'm an ordained with the Temple of Wicca, high priest, and that's where I get one of my doctorates of divinity. But Wicca itself is now a federally recognized religion. It is protected under the Constitution. Prisoners are allowed to practice it, with the exception of course, because of safety issues, they can't use the things and such.
Uh-huh. Like the
but
fire.
They do have the right to practice it. There is a in the chaplain's handbook for the U.S. military, there is a section on paganism and Wicca.
Wow, that's cool.
How old
has been? I believe, and I'm going back. My memory is just squat, but it's been, I believe, in the last 3 years or 4 years,
yeah, so
somewhere in that
new
ballpark.
It's fairly new.
But yes, it is federally protected.
So when you go into the hospital and you have to stay there for a few days, and they ask what religion you are, it'll be on the form. You can check it in a box.
I don't know if it's seat that
well, it may be other, and then you write
other,
it in.
Other,
yeah.
Okay.
Then you write it in. I have people that do that, and I get phone calls, and I go down there, and if they want to try healing or they want to, whatever they feel the need, that's why I'm there. Now, as a minister, priest, whatever you'd like to label me, but that's why I'm there, and that's where I go.
I have a question from the chat room.
Okay.
A future guest on Ghostly Talk, Vance West of TrinitySciences.com.
Oh, hi, Vance.
Has asked if you have any background. I'm going to slaughter this. Bujinkan? Let me try it again.
Bujinkan?
That's what it is. Bujinkan is how it was typed. Bujinkan?
Yes. I trade with Stephen Hayes, and I actually met Soke Hatsumi. Here in the U.S. Yes.
Wow.
All right. Oh, who's he?
We don't know who he is, but that's all right, though.
That's okay. Actually the 34th Grand Master of the Art.
Oh, wow.
So that sounds important.
Well, it's actually traceable back over 900 years and documentable.
Wow.
And prior to that, it actually comes from China, so it's documented even further.
Oh, okay. You know, a funny thing that I just want to throw out there, you noted that... paganism is a federally protected...
No, Wicca.
Wicca, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wicca
is federally protected now. Now, I think we discussed this here. I don't know if I talked to you about this or not, Doug. I did read an article a few months ago in England, and our boss may know this, Jeff from Pioneer. They actually... It was a serious debate for a little while, but there were so many people when they filled out an application or whatever type of official form in England, they were listing their religion as Jedi. I kid you not, Jedi.
I'm
from
Star
Wars.
Yeah.
From Star Wars, and I
people
believe...
who actually, I don't know what I don't know what to call it, but yes, there is a quote-unquote religion where people have fallen into the concept. Again, goes back to what we were talking about earlier about people creating their own beliefs.
There you go.
These
yeah.
people believe in the concept of a universal force.
Uh-huh.
Again, there is a Jedi religion now.
Yeah, and I don't see anything wrong with that. Okay.
Well, I don't either. That's up to them how they believe and perceive it. I still see it as all one and the same.
There you go. Yeah.
Back to the question, though, about paranormal stuff. I know paranormal is not the right word. How about scientifically unexplainable?
Oh, we just call it.
Have you had anything... Have you ever seen a ghost? How's that? Or run into an encounter that even you couldn't explain?
That even I couldn't explain?
I got to tell you.
Are we talking on a scientific basis here? Or
on any kind of basis.
I couldn't come up with an answer for it.
Right. Something that was just, hey, that's really freaky. Because I got to tell you, I saw one ghost once. I've been a ghost hunter for years. I even do a paranormal radio talk show about it on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's gotten some bizarre credibility for some reason. But I've seen one ghost once, and you cannot tell me that I didn't. I mean, you can tell me that I didn't, but I won't believe you because I saw it with my own eyes. What has anything out of that? I don't know what's out of the ordinary for you. Sorry.
I'll believe anything once. How's that?
But
if it's good, I'll try it a second time.
Hear, hear.
But, like, have you seen a ghost, or have you actually seen psychokinesis?
I have practiced prior to becoming so involved in paganism, yes. I practiced ceremonial magic prior to, and I have done some conjuring, and I have some things, seen some things that basically scared the living hoo-ha out of me. I don't want to offend your audience, but yes.
Okay. And so it's real.
What the hell's my problem then?
Yeah, I know. You haven't seen a ghost yet.
I haven't seen anything.
I've seen two. One was in
I can
home.
Definitely say that there are things out there that, you know, in my heyday, in my younger years, I played around with stuff that I, you know, again, we all tend to do it because it's neat. And
oh, yeah, the Ouija
board. There are things that you don't want to mess with if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, I have seen some things in my day that I definitely believe were, I wouldn't call them even ghosts. Yeah, I have seen ghosts, and I believe very firmly in them. But, in fact, I have a 10-year-old son that, and this sounds so corny, but it's the only phrase I come up with because I tease him about it. I don't tease him, but that's our little joke, is I see dead people. And one thing is, when we're anywhere, the one place he loves to go, and this sounds so bizarre and so weird, but from a 10-year-old child, but he likes to go to the cemetery.
Not weird. I'm a ghost hunter, yeah.
Well, he's 10 years old, but he likes to go to the cemetery.
That's
I said, why do you go? He said, because they talk to me.
Really?
You learn stuff.
This is your son says this.
Right, and I just, you know, it amazes me, and then I go down there, well, I don't actually go, because I've seen too many scary things in terms of, you know, I know what's off limits and when to do and when not to do,
mm-hmm.
and I know what's out there, but I'll take him and I'll sit with him, and he'll sit there, and he'll sit there and start talking,
wow.
And, of course, there's nothing there for me, but he'll sit there and have a conversation. Plain as day. He's got a speech problem, but he talks plain as I'm talking now.
Wow.
And it just amazes me. Yeah, I have seen strange things that I consider quite normal.
Excellent.
Does it make it any less real because it's coming from a 10-year-old child? No, I think that's probably why he's able to do it, because he has become so cluttered.
Right.
With
bills.
The chatter of the mind's eye. You know, he's not crammed with all this. As adults, we have to unlearn what it is we have learned in our lives in order to be able to accept what is there.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
We have talked about that up, down, sideways, backwards.
It's one of the things we've noticed since starting the show 2 years ago that...
It's like we as adults have to be, I hate to use this term, deprogrammed in a way. Because, we've talked about it with dogs. We've talked about it with cats, how they perceive things. Because, why is it...
Children
especially. Well, that's
especially
the focus.
There's a crop of children they call the indigo children that don't have the walls built up in their head that we've made in ours.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
and they can experience this. And a lot of parents, I think, are, you know, telling them, no, that's not there. You know, your imaginary friend is not real. You know, that kind of thing. They're trying to build the walls in these kids.
How many imaginary friends are something other than imagination?
I think there's probably a percentage of them that are imagination.
But, exactly.
And a percentage that are, you know, constructs of psychology. But I think that that there is a larger percentage that are really something else that they can't explain. So they just write it all off as psychology.
Well, that goes into the whole poltergeist thing. If you start looking into poltergeist, you start looking into a large percentage are children.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, telekinesis is suspected in a lot of those cases, from a quote-unquote paranormal paranormal perspective. But quite frankly, I can see that. And they're usually in some kind of environment they don't want to be in or something. I can see where all that comes from.
Well, we've received emails here.
What about the adults that don't have all that mess?
Well, I actually count them as both lucky and unlucky at the same time. Because that's got to be a burden in today's society.
Oh, it definitely is.
I mean, like you, for example, I mean, because you're very vocal and upfront about, you know...
No, I'm not vocal. I just have a big mouth.
That too. But about, you know, paganism and I two Doctor of Divinities and you know, basically the...
Honorary. You know, that's not a big deal. That's just for the work I've done with people.
And that, which is awesome. Two honorary Doctor of Divinities. So you've got... you know, you're very upfront about everything.
Not with the titles, Doug.
But that's got to... I don't have one. I need one. Yeah. But,
get off the titles. You know, what does a title do for me?
But you're out there with them, and you really do have them, and they've been bestowed upon you. But you're out there, and so people must look at your website and look at the body of work that you do or meet you in person, and you must get all the reactions known to man. You must get the, oh, welcome, and you must get the, oh, heathen kind of thing. So you must get it all. Well,
to reiterate, I'm in the Bible Belt. I get a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah. So you get a lot of it.
I'm in no air. That doesn't help. Yeah.
And then the folks who have both are lucky and unlucky to have been, you know, been able to see ghosts and talk to them or predict the future or look at a person and read their auras or, you know, do all this stuff that folks consider very, you know, new age and psychic and that kind of thing. And I'm sure it doesn't help that, you know, Miss Cleo and all that has popularized that stuff. But the...
You hit on a key point just then. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but you hit on a key point.
Yeah?
The new age... You know, it's not necessarily new. It's just that a lot more people are realizing it's always been there. That term is just, that's another label that just drives me crazy.
Yes, it is.
It's not new. It's been there. We just finally found a way to satisfy our need for a label and saying it's new age. When in reality, it's been here all the time. We should know what to call it.
Mm.
Most of this stuff is been... I mean, look at history. I mean, you can even go to the Bible and look at our church paintings and see these discs flying around in the background.
And
suddenly we call them UFOs and we say it began in the 50s or the 40s. For crying out loud, there's something to this.
Oh, yeah. There's even ships, Viking art of ships flying in the sky, which, of course, the ships that they depicted were... impossible because they were actual like sailing vessels, but they were in the sky.
Yeah, please tell me that was a weather balloon back then.
Yeah, putting a boat up in the sky.
Or Jupiter, or yeah. Whatever it was, Venus.
Well, yeah, there are
in the sky a lot these days.
There are hieroglyphics. They've already found hieroglyphic tablets that have, impressions of helicopters. They look exactly like helicopters. They were carved into stone.
It's like, how could they have
jets,
seen that?
These particular crafts that we have nowadays.
Closed mind. If we open our minds, there is an entire world out there that we have not discovered. What we need to do is unlearn what we have learned so to the point where we can open our minds to those things.
And how, I mean...
We've done that. Oh, my God. You know, oh, wow. Incredible
yeah.
What's
Now, that's a good point there. How do people, I mean, I know you don't have all the answers, and I know I don't have all the answers either, but how do people start doing that? How would you, if you were to be asked that, hey, I really want to see for real what's going on, how do I start doing something like this?
I think that, by the way, Edward is asked out of sheer exasperation because he's not seen a ghost yet.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Scott was asking, how do you go about doing this, opening your mind and experiencing this stuff? Because I just happened to see a ghost once quite on accident, but Scott hasn't yet, and we're still hunting. So how do you open your mind and do that? Experience these phenomena.
That's a pretty big question, I know.
Yeah.
Actually,
wow.
It's not that big. It's a step-by-step process.
Yeah.
Because, again, you've spent a lifetime learning how to block it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen overnight. But what you have to do, there are techniques that you can use to ease you into it a little quicker. For instance, you know, you and I have talked and emailed and so forth, uh-huh. and I've listened to you talk many times. One of the things that most pagans do is ground and center. And that means leaving behind everything, taking all that garbage and throwing it down into the earth and letting it be dispersed in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of comments with pagans and such when they go for rituals and so forth. Well, how do I ground and center? One of the easiest ways is to simply raise up on the balls of your feet as you breathe in through your nose, and then slam your heels down as you breathe out through your mouth after holding it for about 3 seconds. But you need to visualize, as you do it, the ocean. Picture yourself standing on the beach, watching the waves recede as you rise up slowly on the balls of your feet. Then, as it's out there, you can't see the waves going away anymore. Pause. That's where you're on your balls of your feet, and you're holding your breath. And then as the wave comes back, feel it building, building, building. Slam your heels into the ground as the wave crashes into the ground, into the beach at your feet. Once you start doing this, you kind of start learning how to clear your mind. And that's it. You have to learn to clear your mind and stop thinking. How many nights have you guys laid in bed, or any of your listeners laid in bed, and just couldn't turn your brain off?
Every single night of my life.
That's happened to me quite... It used to happen
often. That's my biggest problem. Is I've tried all types of meditation. All types of trying to get in tune with the earth, or getting in tune with the netherworld, or whatever you want to call it. And I always find myself... We've been to so many places, and we've done the case. Let's get in a circle, and let's ask some questions. And I know I find myself always trying to focus myself on what's going on around me.
But how many times have the thoughts creeped into your head?
Every single time. I cannot clear my mind. It's almost impossible for me to clear my mind. I know it's not that I have a problem or anything like that. It's just how I was raised. I was raised like that. And I know I'm always thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, whatnot. And it's always creeping in there, like you said.
It's not impossible to get it out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes practice.
It takes practice.
You have to stop thinking. The hardest thing a person can do is stop thinking. I mean, that's what our lives depend upon, is thinking constantly. We have to think to function.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the hardest things there is when it comes to practicing magic, when it comes to functioning in society, anything. We have to learn to stop thinking. And that is the hardest thing there is to do.
Well, do you know what...
Grounding... We begin to, in meditation and grounding, through practice, we learn slowly to tune some of that out. And it won't take a day. It won't take a month. It may take a year. But remember, you've got, well, Scott L., you've got 30 years now.
Well, thank you.
Hey, believe me, you know, hey, that was a long time ago for me. You know, it takes time to get back there to where you don't think. Again, think like a child. That's one thing we could all do. You remember back when you were a kid? How much did you really think about? I mean, most of the time it was like trivial stuff. We didn't think about all the big to-do. We've created so much in our society and our world around us that our brains are constantly clicking on what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in at the bank, how many bills do I have to pay, and everything else. What we have to learn to do is shut all that out and get back to us. You know, that's the time to be selfish.
What's really fascinating is when I saw the one ghost that I saw, I was pretty much on automatic. I wasn't thinking about anything other than where am I going to park.
We were just driving in the
car.
Because
I was physically driving. I didn't expect that it would happen, and I was on automatic. So I guess by being on automatic, I wasn't.
How many times has that happened to other people? And they say I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, the phrase "all of a sudden."
Mm-hmm.
Usually, it's when their mind wasn't on the subject.
That's interesting. I'm going to go through some of the stories that are on Ghostly Talk and on Ghost to Ghost and on all those, you know, ghosttoghost.org and all those Shadowlands and stuff like that. And I'm going to take a look and see how many times that phrase or something that means the same thing crops up in the ghost stories. Because
I'd be surprised.
I think that that's going to be a key. That's going to be something that actually...
their mind was somewhere else when it happened.
And then all of a sudden...
Oh, they were in that place at that time, and you know, they were oblivious to what was going on around them.
Right.
But they weren't in the moment that they were in.
Right, they weren't...
Their brain was somewhere else, their body was over here.
Mm-hmm. And that's I know that is the biggest problem, and I've talked about it before here, that's my hugest problem. I mean, I know there's the other side of it where, you know, if you try to get too into it, you're going to start seeing things just that are created by your mind.
Exactly.
But I've tried to go to that next level with it, even by myself. I'm not talking about when we're out ghost hunting.
Walk into a ghost hunt looking and saying, you know, when you walk into a ghost hunt, one of my questions to you is, do you go into the ghost hunt thinking, I'm going into a ghost hunt?
Well, I usually think, where are we going to stop to eat afterwards? I'm kidding.
No. I
do you go into it with that frame of mind?
I go into it thinking...
This is a ghost hunt.
I go into it thinking, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take pictures. We're going to do... We're going to try and get out of
there. You've got so much on your mind when you go in there. Just go in there. Okay, well, I'm driving down here with the guys. I'm going to get out and whatever they do.
You know, and that's really true because we do a lot of stuff. We have a lot. Okay, who's got who's got this camera? Who's got that camera? Okay, who are these people we're going to see? Okay, are they gonna,
take a picture up there. Take a picture over here. Let's get this over here.
Yeah,
let's
you're really concentrating on the process.
And that's the same thing, really. It all ties together. That's what the amazing part. And it's a realization I've had right now is that Well, just a simple ghost hunt that we go into, and religion itself, it all ties. It's all the same thing. Because maybe I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong in the first place, because we are scientists. You know, we study this scientifically.
Right.
So there are certain things, according to the scientific method, we have to do, and we have to think about them.
I am a retired vet tech. I grew up, I spent my life in the scientific method, and I'm a firm believer in it. And one thing I've learned is, you know, even in dealing with animals and grabbing certain, you run into situations you're not prepared for because they don't fit a textbook.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it ties
in. And if you're
in.
Thinking textbook, you can't save that animal's life. You can't save it.
Especially with what we're doing.
No.
You know, I see the correlation now, though. Because, I mean, I know our hearts are always in it. This is what we love to do. This is our thing. Our brains are in it, yeah. And the same thing goes for religion,
too. Your heart, you know, you got to put your mind, body, and spirit all in the same place at the same time. The physical, mental, and spiritual all have to be in one place at one time for anything to work. That's a basic principle of magic, even. Everything has to be, all three of those have to be connected. If they're not, you know, it's not going to happen.
That's incredible.
I wish it was some quick way to say do it.
Yeah, but like you said, this isn't a world of bewitched.
To change your, you know, it's not for me to do it. It's something that you have to do for yourself. And the only way you can do it is to unlearn what you've learned to the point where you can go in there and think, man, I want a cheeseburger tonight when I get done. And just walk in there and go, well, we'll get a beer later. Let me get this over with. And you go in it, and all of a sudden, poof. You know, you end up like that. You see something.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain isn't where it's at, where you're at, physically.
That's very heavy. That's very heavy. It really is. And it makes...
It makes me want to run out and do some experiments.
Well, yeah, but it makes perfect sense, too.
It does.
I like Doug's mind. He got out there and he thinks.
Yeah.
Well, let me see if I can analyze this. There's no analyzation to it.
Well, no, I know that, but I want to see what if in the historical records that we have right now, the biggest repository is the internet,
mm-hmm.
and go through all those stories and see if now that I'm beginning to understand a little bit of something, you know, with my own experience, that if it's not there in others, and maybe. You'll
be surprised. I've tried the same things. Years ago, I tried to say they.
I mean,
amazing.
To teach me.
Yeah.
You know, again, I go back to the same thing I said earlier. The simplest answer is usually the simplest, and the first answer is usually the correct one.
That's true.
Into your head. We tend to take something. You know, it's like going out and saying, "I wonder if I should go out tonight." And then you think about it. When you say, "I wonder," you automatically start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You had the gut feeling to go. You had the first thought in your head was, "I'm going out." Then you think, "Well, should I really go?"
I've got all these.
Then you find out you missed the best party in town.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say,
the first answer is usually the right one.
Mm. That's totally right too. And I overthink everything.
I do too. Sometimes
I think all the time.
Our brains can be our own worst enemy when we don't combine them with our body and our spirit. As simple as that.
Speaking of thinking,
oh, no.
I think we're going to have to close the show.
This is one of those shows that I hate to cut off, though.
Flew by.
One of the shows I hate to cut off. I hate to have
I
to stop.
I do, too.
Because it's like I'm learning so much right now.
I know.
So frustrating.
That's the problem.
Edward, we have to have you back on again. Soon.
I'll be here.
All right.
Excellent.
We're going to have to close the show out. Edward, stay on the line, please.
Sure.
And we're going to close the show out.
Well, first, tell us about your website.
Yeah.
Magic Mind, MAGICK. Got to put the K at the end. Mind. Wicca websites, WICCA websites, .com.
And of course, we'll have him linked up on our website forever and now to come. So
yes, he's linked up on ghostlytalk.com as well.
Check it out, though.
Thank you so much.
Guys, check out the website and look at the articles.
Oh, definitely.
Explanatory.
There's a lot of information on there for you to check out. Definitely check out Edward's website. That's it for this show.
Thank you so much, Edward. And
wow.
I guess until next Sunday.
I'm gonna go home and just contemplate my mortality now that I'm 29.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Thanks again, guys. Hey, you guys got me a cake. That's really cool. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
And all you listeners. There's a piece of cake here for you, but if you don't get it soon, it'll be gone in the morning. So
some evil troll will come in here.
But there'll be a picture of it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get to see a picture.
We'll have a picture up tonight.
So thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Karma.
I'm Will.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye now.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.